We're continuing our series in James tonight, so please turn with me to the book of James and chapter 1. James chapter 1, we're beginning tonight at verse 19 down to the end of the chapter. So let's hear God's word. Know this, my beloved brothers, that every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Amen, and we thank God for this portion of Scripture tonight. So when someone says they're a Christian today, well, I think that term often needs some clarification, because for many, that is a name only, because seemingly there's 2.4 billion Christians in the world. But somehow I think it's more or less just a term that people use rather than being a Muslim or an atheist. They say they are a Christian. It's a mark of maybe which church they're associated with, or maybe a family background. But it doesn't mean that they've all accepted Christ and that they all live by his word. Because a central theme in James's gospel is living out your faith. It's very much a practical book. James was aware that there were many people who claimed to be Christians, but yet when he started to probe and look for evidence of that in their life, it actually showed that it wasn't a genuine profession. And verse 22 in this passage is a key verse for this section, but not only that, for the whole letter, because it makes clear that believers are to be doers of the word and not only hearers. And last week we saw that genuine faith, how it responded in trials, various trials. True believers would come through those times of testing, showing their faith to be steadfast and sure. They were not double-minded, as it talked about in verse 8 there, but they kept their focus on the Lord, the one who had saved them. In verse 18, just before this passage we're looking at tonight, it makes clear that it is in response to the word of truth that we have been saved. A right response to the gospel message brings about that genuine new birth. And I trust each one here tonight can say that they have accepted Christ. They have heard the word and responded in that true new birth. And your life in Christ is in him. So having received that new life in response to the word of God, James is now concerned about how the word of God should impact their life, how it should go on with them. And as we look at this passage, we could maybe ask ourselves at the outset, how do we respond to the word of truth? Are we both hearers and doers tonight? So firstly then, I want us to see, be eager to hear and receive God's word. Be eager to hear and receive God's word. In these verses, James shows how we're to move on from that new birth into living this new life. He says we are to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. And further down there, he says, and receive with meekness the implanted word. Jarvis just reminded me of this wee phrase tonight, and you'll have heard it said that we've been given 2 ears and 1 mouth because we should listen twice as much as we speak. And sometimes that phrase or this verse is often given as advice to newly married couples. The groom in particular is told that if he wants a happy marriage, he should be very quick to listen You should be slow to speak and slow to become angry. But James isn't talking here about relationship advice, but he's concerned with how we listen to the word of God. We should be quick to listen to it. You see, if someone's quick to do something, it's usually because they're eager and they're keen to do it, aren't they? When children are told to tidy up, if I shout at our children, get that tidied up, they can be very slow about it. But if you tell them they're going to watch TV, they're down in an instant. And you see, James is saying that if you see the importance of the word, and if you value it in your life, then you'll be quick to listen to it. You'll take the time to study it, and you'll think about what it's saying. You'll not just open up the Bible and pluck out a verse here and there. You'll take time to read through it slowly. Let it sink in, seeing how it was written to a particular people at a particular time. But you'll realize that through Christ that is applied to us today. But to do that, we must be quick to listen, both in our own private study and as we sit under God's word as it is preached week by week. I heard it said once that poor listening will make poor preaching out of a really good sermon. So it wouldn't matter if I or Mr. Murray preached the most engaging sermon ever, if it was so theologically sound. If you're not eager to hear what has been said from God's word, then it's not going to make any difference what we say from the front. And this doesn't come easy to us to listen well, does it? And that's why James has to tell these people to be quick to listen. Listen up here. Because sometimes we fail to be quick to listen because we're so busy being quick to speak, aren't we? You're maybe so quick to get your point of view across to someone. You know, when you're in a conversation and they're maybe starting to debate about something, you're just wanting to get in there with what you have to say, that you're not actually listening to what the other person is saying. We need to be slower to speak so we can actually listen and learn something. And as we approach God's word or come to hear a sermon, sometimes we can come to it already with our mind made up. We think we know what it's all about. You hear the Bible reading and you think, oh, sure, I've heard that before. And you start to churn out all these things, maybe even in your mind, of what it's about. You put your own spin on it. You put your own slant of how you want it to go, rather than listening to God's word. Remember the story of the rich young ruler when he came up to Jesus and he was asking about eternal life, but he was quick to speak to Jesus and tell him about all the ways that he had obeyed the commandments from his youth, remember? But yet when Jesus told him to go away and sell everything he had and give to the poor, he went away sad. He didn't want to know about it. He wasn't actually quick to listen to what Jesus had to say. And sometimes we can have the same attitude when there are things that God's word might be saying to us, and we don't actually want to listen to it. We try to explain it away. We're quick to say, oh, sure, that doesn't really apply to me today. No, I don't really need to listen to that part. That's for somebody else. You see, if we're actually eager to hear God's word, then we would be quick to hear, slow to speak, and seriously think about what God's word is saying to us through what we are reading or listening to. The third part of that phrase there is that we're also called to be slow to anger. And if you aren't quick to listen to God's word, and if you're too quick to speak out, sometimes it can lead to becoming angry about certain issues. How many times have you heard people giving off after hearing a sermon? Some people get really angry about what they hear. Telling me that I need to be saved. What's that boy on about? Or telling me that we should give sacrificially. Sure, I give plenty unto the church. Do you not know how much I give? How dare they tell me that? I could go on with many examples. I'm sure you've heard people giving out about things, getting angry in response to what they hear from God's word as they hear it preached. Maybe you can think of things that are pushing your buttons when you hear certain things talked about. Of course, anger in itself is not a bad thing. Jesus himself got angry at certain times when he saw injustice, or when he remembered a time in the temple when he saw people trading and making a mockery of things in the place of worship. This was not out of a sinful attitude. Jesus, when he became angry, it was out of a righteous and a holy and controlled godly anger. But even with that, we must be careful in how we speak in those times. Because when we're angry, it can cause us to speak badly about others, can't it? We can say things that we shouldn't, and we can fall into sin. And it rarely helps us to produce the righteousness of God, which it talks about in verse 20 there. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And that righteousness will become more apparent in our lives the more we are quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. Because as we listen and understand the word more clearly, it will show us the way that we are to live our life. Because it's like a mirror held up to us, and it shows the state of our lives. It shows the ways that we're going away from it. And so as we look into that word, into that mirror, by God's grace, we see that filthiness in our life. We see the wickedness that we need to cast aside, put off like dirty rags. And we continue to put those ways off as we humbly receive God's word, as we listen to it, as it's planted deep in our lives, as it talks about there in verse 21. It's through that we grow in this righteousness. So we must be eager to hear the word of God. Secondly then, be obedient to what we've heard in the word. Look at verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he's like. Great wee phrase that, isn't it? But you can be very quick to listen and absorb all the preaching you hear. But if it doesn't translate into action, if there isn't a change in your life after hearing it, well then you're just deceiving yourself. Because remember we said at the start that James is keen to show the importance of living out your faith. The word isn't just to go in one ear and out the other. No, if it's truly been received, if it's been implanted into your heart, then there will be that natural outworking of it in your life. Genuine Christians will be obedient to the word of God. You see, at the time of writing, James was picking up on people who were known at the time as professional listeners. I don't know if there's anyone here who's a professional listener, but these people would have gone about from place to place just listening to the latest lecture that was going on and the public speakers at the time, and they went from place to place to place. They listened well, but they actually did nothing with it. And if you're coming to Sunday morning and evening services here in Drumrea and to midweek each week also, then you've listened to 156 sermons in the year. And I know some of you go down to maybe a mission hall after in the evening service on a Sunday. So there's 208 sermons you're listening to in the year. Never mind all the other reading and listening you do yourself outside of that. But I wonder how much of that has been put in practice. And when I ask that, I'm challenging myself as well here. I'm not pointing the finger at you all, because equally I'm guilty of not putting all that I hear into practice. Because you see, we can be very good at making sure we're at the meetings. Oh, we need to be there. And that can be our motivation. We're seen to be there out of a sense of duty. Or maybe you come to all those various meetings because you're wanting to see if what the preacher says is really sound. Or make sure that he's got a few buzzwords in, or a strong message for your man or your woman across the aisle from you. As I shake hands at the door, there's usually comments like, well, you know, that was a good sermon. You did well. That was a great message for the unsaved today. I once heard said that in response to comments like this, you should say, so what? Maybe it would sound a wee bit cheeky if I asked that at the door. But so what? So what did you find good about that sermon? So what was it that challenged you from God's word this morning? So what areas of your life actually are going to change from what you've heard? Could you give an answer if that was turned back onto you? See, we could listen to 200 sermons plus a year, but if we're not actually listening and putting it into practice, then what's the point? We're deceiving ourselves. It's as foolish as that person looking into the mirror, studying himself really closely and forgetting about it as soon as they walk away. If we're quick to listen to God's word and it is truly implanted in our lives, then it will bring about a change. Because God's word is living and active. You see, when we see the importance of it, we'll cling to it, we'll wrestle with it, we'll pray about it. After hearing a sermon, you'll maybe go home and you'll read the passage again. You'll think it through. You'll listen to the main points. You'll ask God, how should I respond to what I've heard this morning or this evening? We'll think about the daily situations that we're going through in life. And we'll ask the question, well, how does God's word apply to the situation that I'm in? How can I get encouragement from this? How can this help me to keep going in that path that I'm walking in with Christ? See, we'll take it seriously. In verse 25, we're told that we'll be blessed if we look into the perfect law of God and persevere in it and live it out. You see, it is such a blessing to see how in practice, as that old hymn says, ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. See, those who claim to be true Christians are obedient to God's word. They seek to live by it. And as they do that, it will change us day by day. But yet we know we fail to do that, don't we? I know I fail to do that so often. But thankfully though, Jesus did uphold the law perfectly. He was completely obedient to that eternal plan. And as he walked on this earth, he was eager to listen and to engage in the scriptures. He absorbed it. He took it all in. And he put it into practice in his life perfectly. He perfectly lived out the word of God in complete obedience all the way to the cross, to the point of death, where that word was completely fulfilled in all its glory. And if we truly are followers of Jesus and we know Christ as Savior, then we'll know his help as we listen to God's word. We'll know his help with us as we put that into practice in our lives. By the Spirit at work in us, the Word of God will impact us and change us and go before us as we live that out in the places where God has put you and me. So finally then, we're to be practical in living out God's Word. We're to be practical in living out God's Word. I remember starting work as a graduate engineer a good number of years ago now, but in the first week you go in and you get all these company briefings and all these talks about how great the company is and what they do and all the different departments, and your head's filled with all this stuff, and you're told about how great an opportunity this is to be here and you're going to make such a difference. Well, that was all good and well, but whenever I sat down with my boss on that first day, the question I wanted to ask was, what exactly do you want me to do? What is it that I'm going to do day to day, in particular in this role? And James has been very clear here about the need to be hearers and doers of the word. It's like he's given that overview, that big message. He's inspired them. He's encouraging you to do this. But then when he comes into 26 and 7 here, he gives some practical examples of what they're to be involved in. Doing these sorts of things showed that God's word had been implanted in them. James talks of these things as religion. And quite often when we think of religion, it's maybe a negative thing we think of, isn't it? You maybe think of the religious leaders in the Bible who were described as hypocrites. Or maybe you think of someone being religious today as just maybe attending the church or trying to adhere to certain laws. We often prefer to say that I'm a Christian. I'm not religious, or I'm not in a religion, but I'm in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. And of course it is good to have that distinction. But when James is talking about religion here, it's not as we think of it. He's using it in a very positive sense here. Because he's talking about religion that is pure and undefiled. It comes out of a heart that has been changed and has genuine and sincere motives. This pure religion, he's shown that this is a life lived out in response to God's word. And it's not only for the individual, but it impacts the lives of that community. And James highlights three practical areas here. He talks about controlling the tongue, caring for those in need, and keeping yourself pure in the world. We saw in verse 19 we were to be slow to speak. And here again he's talking about controlling your tongue. He says it should be bridled, because the tongue can be like a wild horse running down through the fields. It needs to be brought under control. It needs to be steered in the right direction. I read that it's estimated that the average person speaks 18,000 words in a day. I know some people maybe speak more than that, some maybe less. But if someone has truly had the Word of God planted in them and seeking to live that out in their lives, well, then your speech will be controlled, whether it's 18,000 words or whether it's two. The words that you say will not be allowed to run loose. They will be pure, they will be pleasing to God and uplifting to His name. This pure religion is also shown in genuine concern for others, especially those in need. Widows and orphans are the examples given here. And at the time, these two groups represented those who were vulnerable. They had no protection or anyone to provide for them at the time. These were times when there was no welfare or benefits or no social services to take care of children who were in a vulnerable position. So the loss of parents or a husband brought severe disaster to such people. And of course, there's still a need to show genuine, loving concern for widows and orphans today, but also to many other people who are in need, people who are facing difficult circumstances. I see many people with challenges as I go around pastoral visiting people. I was in with a widow last week who was desperately lonely and crying out just for someone to come and chat with her. You know, there's people who are crying out for help. People who are in desperate situations, in needy situations. So often we just talk about doing something. Or we only do something if it's an organized event through a church. But if we're actually truly impacted by the Word of God, surely that will be shown in selfless acts out of the ordinary as we go about daily life. As we see the need, we will seek to try and do what we can to meet it. Jesus said, as you did it for one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it for me. How we treat the least of those around us shows whether we've truly responded to the Word of God. When you look at the life of Jesus, didn't he show compassion and mercy to all that he met? He practically went out of his way to meet the needs of others who were often forgotten about, or outcasts of society. He went to places where people were unwilling to go. Yet he remained pure and didn't allow the world to defile him as he went to those places. And as Christians, as we continue to live in the world and interact with the people around us in difficult circumstances, we're urged here to keep oneself undefiled or unstained from the world. Of course, there's many temptations around us, things that can be distracting. But as we continue to listen to the Word of God, as we live by the Word of God, that Word that has been planted deep within us, then we know as we continue in Christ, He enables us to live that out wherever we are. So tonight, as you've heard from God's Word, may you go out from here being quick and eager to listen to it and to receive it deep into your lives. Because those who have that Word implanted in their lives don't just hear it tonight, but you do it. You put it into practice. So let's be obedient, every one of us, to God's Word. Allow it to shape our lives. And may we all practically see the needs that are before us, where we can put that into practice as we respond to God's Word daily as true followers of Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word, and we pray that we will be quick to listen to what we've heard tonight, that we'll be slow to speak and make assumptions of it tonight, that we would be slow to become angry about what we've heard, because, Lord, we would be eager to know the truth of your word. We would be eager to see that and plant it deep into our lives so that it would shape and fashion us to be more like Christ, the one who was completely obedient to the word, who fulfilled it in every way. And we thank you that because Christ did that through his obedience to death on the cross, we know his presence in our lives if we trust in him. And by your Spirit, you continue to use your word to shape and mold us to be the people you want us to be. So Lord, tonight, help us to take your word, to truly hear it, and to live that out in the places you have put us in, tonight and in this week ahead. Continue to help us as we seek to meet the needs of others, as we share in this community and with people around us. May we be a blessing to others as we have received the blessing of your word. May we be an example of Christ in all that we do. Continue with us in our time tonight as we come before you in prayer and bring the needs of many to you. We pray this in Jesus' name.